We continue our reading of Paul's letter to the Philippians this morning, perhaps the best known and best loved passages from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. We begin at verse 2. You might want to have your Bibles open through the sermon this morning, because we're going to be looking at the structure of this passage as a way of getting towards the meaning of this passage. But let us hear the word of God. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We look at this passage, and we love this passage, but when you really do start looking at it, it can read at first just like a random collection of affirmation and exhortations. Tell Euodia and Syntyche to start getting along, rejoice, don't be anxious, and so forth. Kind of like a list Paul is getting through as he comes to the end of his letter. But I think there's actually a very strong structure to what Paul writes, both in terms of the literature of what he's writing, but also the theology of what he's writing. And the linchpin of the passage, the thing that holds the thing together theologically and thematically, is that one little verse right in the very middle, that the Lord is at hand. And the reason that verse stands out, first of all, is because that's how Jesus began his public ministry, by saying essentially the same thing. After Jesus had been baptized by John and after he had defeated the tempter in the wilderness, Jesus began his public ministry with the declaration, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." In the person of Jesus, the kingdom of God had begun. And Paul seems to be echoing that statement by saying that the final establishment of that kingdom is also about to happen, because Jesus is coming again. The Lord is at hand. But deeper than that, and critical to our understanding of both Jesus' statement and Paul's echoing statement, is the precise meaning of those words, at hand. It's actually one word in the Greek. And it's a very particular word. It's a very particular biblical phrase. And it has a very particular dual meaning, meaning it means two things at the very same time. It means at one and the same time, both already here, at hand, and yet also still coming, getting closer. It's at hand. So, in the case of Jesus' proclamation, the kingdom is already here in the form of Jesus himself, the king of that kingdom. And yet his kingdom has not yet fully come on this earth. It's still coming. It awaits his, at this point, cross, resurrection, ascension, and then coming again at the glory of the age. So the kingdom of God is here in Jesus already, but it is also at the same time about to come. Getting closer every day. And that same dual dynamic is at work then in Paul's declaration that the Lord is at hand. Because as Paul writes these words, it is an historical fact that Jesus has already come. He has already died for our sins and risen from the dead and ascended into heaven. And even though he has ascended into heaven, he is still here with us right now, through the presence of his Holy Spirit. So Jesus is already here. He is at hand in the form of the Holy Spirit, right now, right here. But at the same time, we are also waiting for him to come again and to establish his kingdom in its fullness, to begin the good work he has begun in us, as Paul said it back in the first chapter. Jesus and his kingdom are still to come, but getting closer every day. The Lord is at hand. He's both here right now, and yet on his way getting closer every day. Now, with that understanding in place, this is how I think this passage is supposed to work. And how this passage works gets us a long way towards what this passage then means for us, how we are to understand each of these exhortations that we are so familiar with and dearly love. Everything which comes before Paul's statement, "The Lord is at hand," I think can be rightly interpreted through the "not yet, still coming, getting closer every day" meaning of "at hand." And everything after his statement, "The Lord is at hand," draws from the "already here, right now, with us" meaning of "at hand." So let's look at the passage and see this at work. "I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord." Paul says, "Tell these two gracious souls in Christ that it's time for them to stop their fighting and to be reconciled to one another in Jesus." Why now? Well, first of all, because their feud is obviously not doing the Philippian church any good. These two women Paul identifies as very important leaders in that congregation. But Paul has something larger in view as well. Instead of fighting with each other, what these two women, indeed what the church as a whole should be doing, is rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And why should they be rejoicing instead of fighting? Because it is their Christ-given job, their Christ-bearing work to present to the world the power of Christ's reconciling grace. If folks inside the church can't be reconciled to one another, then how in the world are people outside the church ever going to believe in the good news of the gospel? So instead of focusing on fighting with one another, focus on rejoicing in the Lord. And so in this way, your reasonableness shall be known to everyone, both inside and outside the church. And why does any of this matter? What brings urgency to Paul's statements? Well, the Lord is at hand. He's coming soon. His kingdom may not be fully here yet, but it's getting closer every day. So, Euodia and Syntyche, do you really want him to come and find you fighting with one another, not speaking to one another? Jesus is at hand, which means it's time to put quarrels away and to be reconciled to one another in Jesus. One of my favorite quotes from Yale theologian Miroslav Volf, I've told it to you before and I'm paraphrasing. He says, "We might as well learn to get along with each other right here because we're going to get stuck with each other for all eternity." Be reconciled. The Lord is at hand. He's coming. He's getting closer every day. Get ready now. And therefore, instead of fighting, rejoice. And not just rejoicing as in put on a happy face. Specifically, rejoice in the Lord. Meaning turn your thoughts and energies away from fighting with one another towards anticipating and celebrating and getting ready for that return of Jesus, that coming of the kingdom of God. Rejoice in the Lord. Take joy in everything he's done for us thus far. Take joy in all the stuff we know he's going to bring with him when he comes again. Rejoice in the Lord. For he's given us so many reasons to rejoice, past, present, and future. I love the way the Episcopalian preacher Barbara Brown Taylor speaks of this kind of rejoicing. She says, this sort of rejoicing can be thought of as singing ahead of time. Singing ahead of time. I mean, right here in the moment, times may be hard. The outlook might seem bleak. But Christians know already what Jesus has done for them. And Christians know already what Jesus is coming again to do. And so because we know his kingdom is at hand, not yet here, but getting closer every day, we raise our voices ahead of time, celebrating in anticipation of what is and what soon will be. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. And when we do just that, when we lay aside our strife, rejoice in the Lord, then we are doing precisely what Christ has called his church to do. Then we are presenting to the world precisely what Christ wants the world to be able to see in his church. The richness of the faith and hope and love we have found in Jesus Christ. We are letting the world see in us the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us richly so that the world too will come to Christ in time. to greet him when he comes. And that's what Paul means when he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. He's coming. He's drawing near every day. All right, and if the first half of our passage draws its meaning from not yet, still coming, getting near every day, the meaning of Jesus being at hand in the second half draws its meaning from the already here, with us right now, in the Holy Spirit meaning of at hand. The Lord is at hand. He's here. He's with us right now in this very moment. Therefore, do not be anxious about anything. He's here right now. Right here. Do not be anxious about anything. I remember reading an article in the New York Times Magazine years ago that said that scientists had found evidence that some people have a genetic predisposition towards anxiety. And they had even located the gene responsible, the SLC6A4 gene on chromosome 17Q12. And the people who have a short version of this gene are more likely to have anxiety than people who have the long form of this gene. So how can you tell whether you have the short form or the long form short of genetic testing? Well, how many of you just spent the last 10 seconds very anxious over whether you had the short form or the long form? There's your answer. But short gene or long gene, to be human is to know anxiety. It's just simply part of existence in this world, at least from time to time. And for Paul to say to us just out of the blue, do not be anxious about anything, is on the surface about as useful as saying to a tall person, be shorter, and a short person, be taller. We have no power to make ourselves less anxious, but of course that's not what Paul's saying. He says, the Lord is at hand, therefore don't be anxious about anything. Our relief comes not from something within ourselves, but from the one who has come to us and dwells with us even now. He's right here. His Holy Spirit dwelling within our hearts. Which means, among a whole host of other things, that nothing that we are afraid of is ever going to be able to snatch us away from him. Nothing we are afraid of will ever separate us from his love. And that he is working in our lives to right now to bring all things round to good. Even that thing we are most anxious about. In this moment, the Lord is at hand. He's right here. Whatever we are facing, he is in it with us. Therefore, have no anxiety about anything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, says Paul, because he's here, right now in the form of the Holy Spirit, instead of being anxious, well, just talk to him. He's right here, right now. Talk to him. Tell him what you're feeling, what you're worrying about, what you're afraid of. Do not be anxious about anything, but instead, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Instead of worrying, talk to Jesus. He's right here with us right now. And he's with us in the midst of whatever it is we're going through. Talk to him. Pray to him. Pour out your supplications upon him. Instead of sitting there worrying ourselves to death, just talk to him about it. Because when we do, next verse, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Instead of worrying, talk to Jesus who is at hand, and his peace will guard our hearts and minds. His peace will protect us in the midst of that which makes us anxious. Will guard. It's a military image in the Greek. Picture soldiers patrolling the perimeter of the camp, vigilant for any danger, ready to repulse any incursion by the enemy. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Jesus, who is at hand, right here, present to us right now in the form of the Holy Spirit, not only will listen to our prayers, but he himself will set a guard over our hearts and minds, actively guarding and guiding us through that which we fear. Jesus is at hand. He's here right now. Instead of worrying, talk to him. And he guards us with his peace. Canadian pastor and writer Mark Buchanan tells of doing this. And he wrote a book to testify that Paul was telling the truth here. This is really, actually, something real. It happened during the birth of his first child, Adam. And during the labor, it was found that there were serious complications which were going to require emergency surgery. And as his wife, Cheryl, was being wheeled into the operating room, Buchanan begged the medical team to let him come in with them and with her. And at first they refused, but he was relentless, and so they relented and told him to scrub up and to wait in an anteroom just outside of the operating room until they called him in. And he writes this. He says, "I sat in that anteroom waiting to be called, and how terrible anterooms are. Minutes swell hugely there. The air gathers to a crushing weight. All the anxiety of the world is distilled into anterooms. They are places where you can be broken or made, and I usually don't do well in them. But that night, I spoke to God with psalm-like directness. 'God, show yourself,' I asked. 'Show your glory in the midst of these sallow yellow walls. Spread your fragrance amid the sharpness of this antiseptic smell. Speak into this silence.' And God did. Not audibly, not visibly, not even tangibly, but God genuinely visited me in that anteroom. He made the drabness brilliant. He made the heaviness light, the slowness of time swift. His still small voice spoke, and I heard it. And what I heard is this: no matter what, all is well, and all manner of things are well, no matter what. And I knew something in that moment. I knew something that now, 10 years later, I still know. Oh, I have lapses. I have bouts of amnesia where I become oblivious to the truth I knew then with such piercing clarity. But it's not difficult for me to recover that truth and know it again. That if God is present in anterooms, then He is present everywhere. That if Christ is on the road to Emmaus, then He is on every road. And that if Christ was there, then He is here now. And He doesn't need to be invoked. We do." The rest of the story: Buchanan was called into the operating room, said blood everywhere. Doctors and nurses deftly untangling the cord from around Adam's neck, and then the silence. And then the sputtering and wailing of a newborn child, followed by the cries of relief from a frightened mother and father. And Buchanan writes, "I should have been a wreck. I was, I think, the calmest person in that room because God had come to be with me. Actually, no. I had come to be with Him. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Lord is at hand," which means He's coming again, getting closer every day. "Be reconciled to one another." He's coming. "Rejoice in the Lord always." He's coming. And in doing so, others may look in and see the difference Jesus makes, our reasonableness being made known because He is coming. The Lord is at hand. In fact, He's right here, right now, in this room, in our hearts. Therefore, don't be anxious about anything. Just tell Him about it. And His peace will guard our hearts and minds through whatever it is we are going through. The Lord is at hand. Amen.